All right. So if you just want to say your name and where you're from, which can be sort of a story. I know it is for me, but...
Anyway. No, for me it's just... well, I'm Cheryl Locke, mm-hmm. and I'm from Kansas City. I was born and raised here. Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right.
Yeah, lived a couple other places, but...
Yeah. Always on the... thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Always on the Missouri side?
Yeah. I got married in Germany, so I spent 9 months in Germany, mm-hmm. and we spent a little bit of time down in Montrose, Missouri, mm-hmm. down in the Hicks, and moved back to Kansas City, and now I actually live in the country. I live just in between Harrisonville and Clinton.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Got 40 acres.
Oh, wow.
Five horses.
I was about to ask. Animals?
Oh, yeah. Lots of animals.
A llama.
Three dogs. Two cats. An angora rabbit. I think that's it. Beehives.
Very cool. Okay. Well, I guess then my next question would be sort of, what, did you have any sort of prior religious background when you were growing up?
I was raised Catholic.
Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I think I said this to Mike, too. I get that answer a lot.
There's a lot of us Catholics. Reformed Catholics around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, I guess, how were you introduced to paganism or witchcraft?
Well, back in 1980, I'd say about 85, I think. Mm-hmm. I was working nights, and I came home from work. I got off work at like 10:30, and I must have been 10. I got home, and my husband's a hunter, mm-hmm. and he was in the kitchen cleaning his gun, and he just had the TV on just for noise, I think, mm-hmm. In the living room. And I came in, and I caught the tail end of a program. It was around Halloween, mm-hmm. which is when you get all the witches come out.
do the PR.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and seriously, that's the only time TV shows and radio shows and stuff ever really won us around. It's around Halloween.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was around Halloween, and there was a program on, don't even remember the program, but there was a witch on it, mm-hmm. and she's, I just caught the very tail end, like the last sentence she said. And it was, if there's anything I want people to understand about witchcraft, it's that we're nature worshipers, not Satan worshipers.
Okay.
And I said, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't know why it struck me as important even, mm-hmm. but it did. And so I had to find out what it was then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and asked some friends who I knew were kind of into occult stuff. Anyway, they sent me to Mike's bookstore at the time. I got the book Drawing Down the Moon and read it, and then went to my husband and I said, I think I'm a witch. And he goes, yeah, whatever. And I said, and I want you to read this book that I just read because I'm very serious about it. This is something for whatever reason has really struck a chord, and it's something that I need to follow up with. Mm-hmm. And he read it and he said, I think I'm a witch too.
Nicely done.
Which was really nice because that was an area we had never shared before. He had always been pretty agnostic ever since I'd known him.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole...
And were you still practicing Catholic? Or
I was not practicing regularly, but yeah, I would still go to church and mm-hmm. occasionally, and the kids went to Catholic school. And, so yeah, we weren't real active, mm-hmm. but...
But you were interested in something.
Yeah.
Basically.
And so after that, I went back to Mike's bookstore and got more books. And, you know, and at first, even before I had found his bookstore, I had gone to the library looking for stuff. And all I could find was stuff about the witch trials and Satanism. Right. And I'm going, no, that's not right. That's not right. Yeah. And actually, it was a friend of mine who had lived across the street, and I had asked her. And she said, well, Cheryl, I have a book, but I don't think it's what you want. It's not Christian. And I said, yeah, that's what I want. So she had given me the book and let me read it and sent me to Mike's store, told me where she got it. So that's kind of how I had
found his store. Was that Drawing Down the Moon? Or was that
yes, it was Drawing Down the Moon, yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Do you remember some of the other kind of early books
that
you
read? I do. After that, I got... what's the one by Marian Weinstein?
Positive Magic.
No. Was it? I thought it was Earth something. Wasn't there an Earth Magic?
There was something with Earth in it that she wrote.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Yes. It was Earth, whatever the Earth book was.
That must have been the follow-up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I got that and Spiral Dance. I got... Boy, brain dead. What's the one by Leo Martello?
Oh, Weird Ways of...
No.
Something, The Old Religion?
Something like that.
Her first book.
Yeah.
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 I can't think of it.
And I had actually read another one by Sybil Leek.
Diary of a Witch.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. And got, let's see, I think I said Spiral Dance. Got... rites from the magical rites from the crystal well, and basically just went crazy. Just kind of developed my library all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then ended up getting things like Eight Sabbats for Witches, which were they were a little later.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when I did classes. Those were the ones that I. Had my students read a little later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd kind of do the base. Oh, and the Scott Cunningham book.
The Solitary Practitioner
yes.
one?
Yes. No, and another one too. Mm-hmm. But I did have Solitary Practitioner too, but that wasn't the first one I got.
Mm-hmm.
Truth About Witchcraft? Something like
oh,
that?
Yeah. Truth About Witchcraft Today.
Yeah.
The little.
Yeah, a little bitty one. Yeah, yeah, that was it. I had that one.
Yeah.
Then did a lot of reading about Celtic mythology.
Mm-hmm.
Did reading on divination practices like tarot and scrying and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Ray Buckland. I loved Ray Buckland too. Yeah. I had, I had a bunch of his books.
Yeah.
So anything by Ray, I probably had it.
She never attended any of my classes, but she sent her husband to.
Yeah, my husband went to his classes. I worked nights, so I couldn't go to his classes. Act like I chose not to go.
I didn't mean it that way.
Yeah, so while I was at work, my husband went to his classes.
Yeah, he would record them and bring them home to you, right?
He did, yeah, he did. Yep.
So then how did you, I don't know, when did you start sort of like... Like doing things, I guess.
Actually, you know, right away.
Right away.
The neighbor that brought me Drawing Down the Moon, she decided she was interested. So we kind of started our own group, even though we didn't know what we were doing.
Yeah.
And then somehow, probably, when we went to his store one of the times, he had a... flyer up for the Heartland Pagan Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, ooh, I want to go to that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really close to when the festival time was, and I hadn't seen it before. And he was being very coy and said, well, you'll have to give me your name and number, and I'll let the organizers get in contact with you.
It's just my way of getting her name and number.
You know, whatever. We went to that festival, and that's actually where I met my first high priest, well, my only high priestess.
Okay.
And had met some other people, and went to some open rituals and, you know, just kind of had gotten an idea of what we were supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But then, so when we went to the festival and I met Rhiannon, mm-hmm. I immediately joined as an organizer for the Heartland Pagan Festival. Yeah. I joined Heartland Spiritual Alliance and also joined Rhiannon's coven. Mm-hmm. And stayed in the coven, got my first and second degrees there. Mm-hmm.
What's Rhiannon? I've heard of a couple of
Rhiannons. Rhiannon Bennett.
Okay. So that's not Rhiannon of Rhianna and George.
No. Okay. Different Rhiannon. Okay. Rhiannon is actually one of our oldest Kansas City pagans, next to him, I think. Mm-hmm. She's organized a lot of things, and one of them, she started Heartland Spiritual Alliance, which puts on the Heartland Pagan Festival. She doesn't live here anymore. Right. She moved down to Alabama, which is where she's from originally. But after my second degree, I studied a while longer and got my third degree from the same high priest who had done all my other degrees. Mm-hmm. So even though Rhiannon wasn't here, he did that with another lady who had been a priestess for a long time too. So so got all three of my degrees. Mm-hmm. Started my own coven back in 1994, I think. Mm-hmm. Two or four, something like that. Mm-hmm.
And started teaching yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where were you teaching when you were doing that?
Out of my house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was our tradition, basically, it was like you asked to be a part of our coven or our tradition. And then, so it was teaching from our coven's point of view. I mean, it wasn't his, which were just very general Wicca. This was so that you could join our coven.
Yeah. And what, can you tell me a little bit about your coven and its sort of point of view?
It's British traditional. Yeah. We actually can trace our lineage back to Rollright, England, mm-hmm. back in the 1960s, I think. We traced back that far. Hmm. Basically, it's pretty much a handed down tradition. Mm-hmm. We write everything out. It used to be like when I first joined, I had to write my whole book of shadows was by hand.
Yeah.
I don't make my students do that anymore.
What do you do? Just like photocopies or?
They can put it on the computer. Yeah. They basically have to have a book of shadows.
Okay.
That's pretty much a given for any kind of traditional witch.
Yeah.
You have to have your book of shadows, and you have to have a book of spell work. Mm-hmm. And it can contain, I'm not real picky what it contains. Usually it will have rituals. It will have readings that they've done. It will have poetry they've made up or that they've copied and like. Mm-hmm. You know, it can have lots of things in it.
Yeah.
So
but it doesn't just have to have the traditions stuff in it.
No, it can have, it's a choice. And truthfully, I really see religion as something that is evolving. And I can't say I do everything exactly like my old coven did.
Yeah.
We really do things, and I always tell my students, we are a Celtic coven, mm-hmm. and we follow a Celtic pantheon, which does not mean that you don't study other pantheons, mm-hmm. Or that we never do a ritual using gods and goddesses from other pantheons.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you can never change the aspects of a ritual, but give me a good reason for doing so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me the purpose that you want to accomplish, and we'll do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
We've changed quite a few things from the way I was originally taught.
Yeah.
Just because they make sense for us.
Yeah. And do you think that's more or less common that people in a tradition will kind of be open to...
Boy, it depends on the tradition. Really, some traditions will not allow you to deviate at all.
Mm-hmm.
And others are a little more lax.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people leave some of those real rigid traditions and go on to form their own groups and use what they want out of that tradition and then make up the rest with what makes sense to them.
Yeah. Okay.
But they could no longer call themselves members of that tradition.
Thing. Yeah.
Even though they're based in that. Yeah. I mean, they could still, like, if they were Georgian,
mm-hmm.
they could still call themselves Georgian, but their coven.
But their coven wouldn't be.
Right.
I see. Okay. Let's see here. I guess we covered that. Would you say that your sort of, your practices and your theology have changed much since when you started, you know, from today, or up to today?
It's evolved.
Yeah.
It's filled out.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown through my experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Yes and no. I mean, the basic tenets are still there.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, they're just more fleshed out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not as confined.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had to figure out what God and Goddess meant to me. Like, you know, how literal did I want to be as far as a male god and a female goddess,
mm-hmm.
as separate entities.
Hmm. And what kinds of conclusions did you come to about
that? I am pretty much of the thinking that there is one deity or primary god goddess,
mm-hmm.
That encompasses both aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, something within that deity came together as male and female. You know, or as positive, negative, or however you want to describe it. But that union took place to begin creation, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or begin the creative process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know how I still don't know that I have a literal definition of deity.
Yeah.
But I guess I would consider, I guess my definition, what sums up my definition best is Gestalt.
Okay. Can you say a little more about that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just, first of all, I'm pantheistic, so everything is God.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that all these pieces put together are so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes up true deity.
I see. Okay.
You know, whether it's, you know, pieces of you know, it's just, it's going from that microscopic and to the point that we don't even understand microscopic, you know, to this macrocosmic thing, mm-hmm. all being interconnected,
yeah.
and being greater than each piece alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. What should I want to? Well, I guess I wanted to ask then about community, since my impression was that you're one of the people who started Gaia Goddess Gathering.
I didn't start it, but I am the coordinator at this point.
Okay.
And I actually, I started out with Heartland Spiritual Alliance. Mm-hmm. I was in that in various capacities for oh, I don't know, probably 3 years or so. And then I became president of that organization. I was president for 4 years of that.
Oh, wow, okay. And what did that entail?
That was organizing our festivals, which went from about 150 people to the last year that I was president, we had 1,200. It's a lot of organization, mostly.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of administrative stuff and just keeping everybody doing what they're supposed to be doing, pretty much. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty big organization. We had. I'm actually not. I'm still in it, technically, but not. I'm not super real active.
Yeah.
But we did have a pretty good sized organization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we put on rituals, we had vendors, we had concerts, and we had guest speakers. And so it was just kind of overseeing all that organization.
Mm-hmm. And what made you want to take a sort of leadership role in that organization?
You know, the whole Wicca thing, when I first became Wiccan, I told a girlfriend of mine, one of my best friends, that I was a witch. And she said, oh, Cheryl, do you really know what you're getting into? And I said, Gail, I have never been so sure of anything in my life. I said, finally, I have a purpose. I have a reason for being here. I have something to do, something that is important. And it's like I've found my place.
Yeah.
And so this was kind of following through with that.
Okay.
It was, I found so much satisfaction in just being Wiccan in general, and then to actually help people connect and find new ways for them to, I don't know, the classes and, you know, for them to relate to each other and their god and goddess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
So, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
It did after, oh, gosh, I was in that organization about 20 years before I kind of started letting go a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years ago, I was never real active in GGG when it first started.
Okay.
Because I was so active in Heartland.
Yeah.
But I, some friends of mine had started going, and then they became active in it, and somehow they twisted my arm. And I ended up as coordinator a couple of years ago. So.
Okay.
I do know the lady that did start it, though, the lady whose idea it was at the very beginning, and she just, she's dead now.
Oh, okay.
Her name was Carrie Moonstar, and she was lesbian, and really felt like there should be a place for women to be able to relate to each other, In a feminine way. I mean, there, you know, we relate to each other so differently when guys are around, and we relate to men differently, and you know, I don't know. There is something very special about this women's gathering, where we all feel like we're sisters and like we're heading in the same direction. Where we're so supportive of each other. A lot of the women have been rape victims or been victims of abuse. And so having this space and this very safe and sacred space is so important to them. And so in a way, I mean, it is very much as fulfilling as Heartland was. It's not as big a festival. But it serves its purpose for sure.
And what do you think about, I guess this is reminding me of some of the controversies of however many years ago at Pantheacon, the women's only festival, where I think there was like a transgendered male to female who tried to come in, and then there was all kinds of controversy about how that was handled.
We have really struggled to come to terms with that.
Yeah.
We actually, a couple years ago, had a transgender lady come and talk to us about, you know, just what is transgendering. And this is probably the part, I don't know if you should print or not, or make public. We do allow transgenders, pre-surgery transgenders even, as long as they have been living 24/7 as a woman for at least a year. Not everybody can afford those surgeries, you know, or get them done all at once. But that doesn't mean they're not a woman, you know, that they don't behave and live as a woman. So all we ask is that they be discreet, you know, not go flaunting that they're still male, technically. And most of them don't. Most of them wouldn't. You know, so it's, we just really don't have a problem with it. But we did struggle with it for a long time. And for a long time, it was post-surgery only. But it got to where we just, we couldn't leave them out. If they really wanted to come, and some of them did. I mean, it was a huge issue for them. But it's also a huge issue for those women that need to be with women and women only, that they feel safe and comfortable at the festival too. So that's why we ask them just to be discreet, and we have not, knock on wood, had any problems yet.
I'll give you one too.
I mean, and again, it's only been a couple of years that we've been letting them in pre-surgery, but
how old is the festival now?
17.
17 years. Oh, okay. Let's see. We've kind of talked about... has the internet played much of a role for you in terms of...
Boy, it sure makes registrations easier.
So, administratively.
Administratively, yes.
Yeah.
As far as... I guess yes and no. It's become the networking device now. It's almost like our festivals aren't quite as important as they used to be, because that used to be pretty much the only way to do any networking, was if coming to the festivals. But now you've got the internet, so it has changed. You've got a lot of internet groups. You can find tons and tons of information. You know, whereas we used to have to go up and out and make up our own rituals, now we can go look at other people's rituals for ideas, or, you know, as long as we give credit. I mean, I always tell my coven, I don't care if you copy a ritual as long as you give credit to whoever wrote it. I mean, that doesn't mean, you know, just because somebody else wrote it doesn't mean it's not a worthwhile ritual that we shouldn't be doing. So, as long as they give credit, it's made it very easy for them to get ideas for rituals, for us to get all kinds of information. I mean, that's where he had all his articles before he wrote his book. So, the internet's been great. It's also been, I think, a little bit of a curse. I think it hurts traditional witchcraft.
How so?
I see coven memberships declining. People are more solitary and less... They are more inclined to form their own groups without traditional teachings, without that handed down tradition. And I think that's sad in some ways, because I think they're missing a lot. Um, we were just talking not too long ago, and I can't think of some of the things that we were talking that they're kind of missing out on. Do you remember, hon?
Well, I think we're losing a lot of knowledge. Folks die off if they haven't written it down and handed it on. I think a lot of that traditional lore is being lost, unfortunately.
Well, and just a lot of the coven traditions, just the background traditions and, the kind of sense of history, I guess. I used to think that lineage and witchcraft wasn't important, and I don't care which lineage it is, but I think it gives you a sense of history somehow.
Mm-hmm.
To say this is where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way, even if it's only this is the way we used to do things, and we may not do them that way anymore, but right. this is the progression.
Mm-hmm. And this is where we came from.
Yeah.
There are a lot of odd little, quote, traditions that never get written down, even in Books of Shadows. You've got to be there.
Yeah.
Like when you're passing the mead chalice around or something. In so many covens, it was a tradition that when it gets back to the high priestess, she has to down whatever's left.
Right.
It's just a silly little thing.
Yeah.
But a lot of covens did it, but you'd never see that written down.
No, we used to do that. Yeah.
Our group always did. Yeah.
In fact, Lane would always make sure there was a little bit left.
There had to be a little bit left, because high priestess was always the last one to drink.
Yeah.
And if there was a lot, then she had to down it. Which led to a lot of merriment. But you would never see, you'd have to be at a cup.
Right, yeah.
To encounter that, I think.
Uh-huh.
Little things like that.
Yeah, I mean, and just our whole tradition. I mean, being in our coven, there's a whole bunch of little things that we don't write down. We always, at the end, when we close the circle, it's always done with a song and grounding that other covens don't do. And then we always have this little tradition of everybody gets hugged afterwards,
Yeah.
Not anything that, is going to change, somebody's practices or anything, but just little things that it seems a shame to lose, too.
Yeah. That tell you something, too, about sort of the kind of community it is, but you wouldn't necessarily prescribe, and after this, then you hug everybody
or something.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask, do you think that, so you were saying that the festivals used to be sort of the major source of networking, and now, maybe the internet more is, do you think that's changed the tone or the way festivals are? Do they feel different?
Oh, boy, they do, but I'm not sure it's because of the internet.
Okay.
I think it's because I'm getting old, but...
Well, say more, I guess.
I guess before, when I was younger, I used to go to meet people and do my networking. Now it's like I know those people and I only get to see them once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't miss festival because that's the only time I get to see these people that I really care about.
Yeah.
Okay. So even though they're on the internet and I do keep track of them through Facebook and stuff, it's not the same. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Oh, I was going to ask too about, so you're using different words, Wicca and witch and pagan, and do you make a distinction between or among them?
I don't make a distinction between witch and Wicca.
Mm-hmm.
I do make a distinction between witch and pagan.
Okay.
Because witch is like a subset of pagan.
Mm-hmm. That's the distinction, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, let's see. Oh, I guess is land. You were talking about earlier too that you saw this person on television and they said witches worship nature.
Right.
So I guess is nature particularly important for you then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, very. That's, we have our farm and our circle is in the farm. Mm-hmm. And I should show you pictures. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. When we bought our farm, mm-hmm. The first thing we did was plant a circle of trees. Mm-hmm. It was bare dirt. It had been farmland.
Yeah.
And we planted our circle of trees.
Big wide circle.
Yeah.
When I first heard the phrase, I was like, oh, but no.
It's big. And I don't know, that land and nature, I'm very much an earth person. I just, mm-hmm. I can't imagine being stuck inside all the time. And
And that was something like before you encountered witchcraft. It was already
growing up, yeah. And my husband and I had always had kind of dreams of owning land at some point anyway. And then I got horses. We actually bought the land because I bought horses.
Okay.
And it ended up I had like 3 horses, and it was cheaper to make a land payment than it was to board them.
I see. Yeah.
And so after that.
She got more horses.
But I actually, even though the horses were the primary reason we got the land, we've always, I can't even describe what it means to have those 40 acres, you know, mm-hmm. that piece of land that I take care of for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a part of me that it's almost like having the whole witchcraft thing and the cycles and the, you know, the holidays, then the harvest and, you know, all that. That was almost already a part of me. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I was so drawn to it in the first place.
Yeah.
Because I grew up like that was just me, and that's why after reading Drawing Down the Moon, I went and I said, I'm a witch.
Yeah.
There's just such a connection to the earth for me.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot separate my religion, myself, from earth and cycles and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, it's really important to me.
Yeah.
Very, very, very.
Yeah.
There's
a line that I remember from this book actually, where he's talking about how he always had this issue of when he was a kid, he was like raised in the Episcopal Church, and he always had this sense that like the church ended at the end of town or something like that, at the edge of the forest, like its concerns kind of just stopped there.
Yeah. So. I know when I was growing up, I used to ask my mom why animals didn't have souls, and mm-hmm. you know, just everything in the natural world was so important to me,
mm-hmm.
and it was so important to me that it was something sacred.
Yeah,
you know, that there was something sacred about everything. I think I've always been a pantheist, actually. I just didn't know it.
Yeah, yeah. Our sort of like creativity, or, you know, maybe art making explicitly, but more generally creativity, is that sort of important in your practice?
It is important because in my tradition, we actually will write new rituals. We don't have to, mm-hmm. but we don't, we have the same basic structure.
Mm-hmm.
But within that structure, we can change things. You know, we can change the body of the ritual and the things that we say or the meditations that we do. We can change the calling of the quarters. We can, you know, change which god and goddess we use.
Mm-hmm.
And so creativity is pretty important. And then, too, a lot of times we will actually do craft projects for the ritual. Like at Halloween, we'll make masks.
Yeah.
What else do we do? Candlemas. Yeah. We make candles.
Yeah.
We color eggs at the equinox, at spring equinox, and we will we have the maypole, so we'll do all the ribbons for the maypole at Beltane. So yeah, we do a lot of craft projects, which you know you don't have to be particularly creative, but that's part of magic for us. It's like making those Easter eggs. We will do different things, like we'll paint, things that we want, to manifest. We've done and then the candles. We'll bless the candles, and we'll use them throughout the year. So these things are kind of, they help put us in the mindset of what we want to accomplish during the ritual. They aid us with some of the magic that we do during the ritual. Creativity, I would say we don't all have to be musicians and artists and stuff, but there is a certain amount of creativity, whether you're good at it or not, I guess. Yeah. You don't have to be good at it. You just kind of have to know what. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll make flower wreaths at Beltane, too, and, corn dollies in the fall, and
And is magic, you're mentioning, is that usually a part of your ritual? Is there usually some
Every
sort of...
ritual is magic. But yeah, we will occasionally, we'll do extra magic during a ritual, depending, just depends. Sometimes we'll do healing if somebody needs it. Sometimes we will just do, most of the time, we just do magic surrounding the holiday. What is it that this holiday can do for us? What can it bring out in us? What can we do to help carry this, the idea of this holiday throughout the year? So there's always some form of magic involved, and it does change forms depending on my mood and what needs to be done.
Okay. Let's see. I guess what role does sexuality play in your religious life?
Well, I do feel like being a nature religion, sexuality is very much inherent in the religion itself, in creation itself. I think there is nothing more sacred on earth than sex. There's nothing that brings you closer to God and Goddess than sex. I think that being raised Catholic, I had always heard sex is sacred, and I think the Christians are right about that. It's just that they also tell you not to do it.
It's an intense
message. And it's like, but that's, there's nothing that will get you closer to deity than sex, and you say not to do it. That doesn't make sense. it's almost inherent in the religion. I find it very sad that we're still, even a lot of the pagans obviously most of them have come out of Christianity, but they're so still influenced by our culture that sex is still a bad thing to them. And they still fall into some real negative stereotypes. And I see and hear that a lot around me. And it makes me kind of sad because do you really understand what religion you're practicing? Mm-hmm. and that doesn't mean you have to be promiscuous or, you know, you have to do things that make you uncomfortable or whatever. But I do think you need to understand the part that sexuality plays. Mm-hmm. And that what you say and your behaviors may contradict some of that, mm-hmm. you know, and so yeah, it's very important, and it does make me a little sad that it's not more acceptable mm-hmm. to the people who practice this religion.
Mm-hmm. And in what ways do you see it not being? Do you see people expressing that it's not okay?
Well, like I was at a festival once, and there was this guy chasing this gal around. Mm-hmm. And she was obviously not opposed to it. Mm-hmm. But I was hearing people say very negative things about him because he was making sexual overtures toward her. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wait, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, how do people get together if you're not going to make some kind of sexual overture? Mm-hmm. You know? Or you know, because it's some kind of come-on thing. I mean, he was just trying to get to know her and being playful. And mm-hmm. They were young. And but it was just the idea that these guys were not, were saying that was somehow wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's because we come from this very, very rigid culture that says sex is not okay. Mm-hmm. And sex is supposed to be very, or courtship is supposed to be very prim and proper and follow certain guidelines and it doesn't always, you know, and it's nobody else's business. Mm-hmm. They should just keep their nose out of it if they don't like it until the girl complains, in which case maybe they can get their nose in it. You know, I mean, yeah. it was none of their business, and I just felt they were, I don't know, kind of not
uptight.
Yeah, and not letting nature take its course, I guess.
I see.
You know, it's not like they weren't of age, mm-hmm. so, you know, and I don't know. I think that one of the reasons that that I felt so comfortable, even before I was Wiccan, my husband and I were in an open relationship, mm-hmm. and I had always felt that as making us different, as making us odd, mm-hmm. and you know, not fit in with most of our friends and stuff. And when I became Wiccan, my high priestess was in a triad. Okay. And I'm going, oh God, this is awesome. You know, finally I've met people who think the same way I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was really, really cool. But then I started seeing some of the uptightness too, and which, you know, I mean, it's in a way, I hate to say it's forgivable, but I don't know that it's unexpected considering the society we come from. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, my coven is a skyclad optional coven. Mm-hmm. We don't do the orgy thing or group sex thing, but I think there is strong magic in sex. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you raise that kind of energy, and especially when you raise that kind of energy in a creative act, mm-hmm. That's pretty strong magic.
Yeah. Well, I guess then, have you ever had any negative experiences because of your religious practices or
education? I have, actually. I have lost friends because of it. Mm. I don't know whether they were afraid of me or what, but it's like they find out I'm a witch and all of a sudden they quit talking to me. Mm-hmm. But I've also found a lot of people that I thought might not talk to me anymore that we're all okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and for actually even my mother, I came out to my mother before she died. Mm-hmm. And when I first told her, she was so upset.
Oh.
And I was trying to explain to her and I was showing her some of the books and, you know, she was a very staunch Catholic and she was just like, I told her, I said, I don't even believe in Satan, Mom. I don't worship Satan. I don't even believe in Satan. Well, you may not believe in him, but you are Satan. And I'm going, excuse me? I said, Mother, think about what you just said. You, of all people, know me better than anybody else. Why would you call me Satan? You know, do you really think I'm that evil? And she ended up having to live with us for about a year before she died.
Yeah.
And I told her when she was getting ready to move in, I said, you know, I'm not going to stop practicing because you're there. And I said, there will be people over to the house and we will be having rituals. This is when we lived in the city still. I said, we will be having rituals. And she understood that. I don't think she liked it. But after a few rituals, she said, can I come to one?
Mm.
And I said, yeah, you can come. Mm. So she did. And just a little before she died, I actually have a friend who's a priest that knows I'm Wiccan.
Yeah.
And he's been a friend of the family ever since I was in high school. Mm. And my mother loved him. And she wanted to see him. And so he came out to the house and he gave her last rites. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was still not, she wasn't ready to die yet, but she was getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went ahead and gave her last rites. And he told me later that they were talking a little bit about me being a witch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that she had told him that, she said, I don't understand it, but it's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that was one of the most validating moments I ever had. You know, one of the most understanding moments I ever had from my mother. but so I've lost a few friends, but I think I've gained so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in the friends that I do have and the understanding of the friends who aren't even pagan, but who accept me anyway.
Yeah.
So.
And do you think, I don't know, in terms of issues, do you think, I don't know, aside from your mom, do you think things have changed over time? And like, do fewer people have a bad reaction or is it pretty much the same in terms of?
I think it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's still seen, and especially for younger people who are trying to get into it, I think it's seen as something rebellious, which I hate because a lot of them are in it because, you know, because it's different and then they end up leaving and, you know, it ends up meaning really nothing to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's still pretty much scary to most Christian people.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I don't know. I think there's probably more who at least understand what it's not, but they don't really understand what it is either.
Yeah.
You know, even the ones who don't think we're Satanists, you know, we're hippie tree huggers, and which is to a certain extent true, I suppose. But
right, yeah.
But there's so much more than that.
Yes. In addition to that, however.
Yes. Yeah, I have actually had people say, oh, that's just such an old hippie religion. And no, not quite. You're kind of missing some things there.
Yeah. And anyway, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's pretty much all the questions I have, but is there anything else you feel like you want to say or should be said?
I don't know, pretty much if there's one thing I want people to understand, it's that we're nature worshipers, not Satan worshipers.
Yeah.
and we are. I think we're a group of people that we are a bit hedonistic at times. We like to have our fun, even our rituals are fun.
Yeah.
My husband on his Facebook page, when my grandson was like 9 months old, we had this big stock pot and it was in the middle of a living room floor for some reason, and he decided he wanted to climb in the stock pot.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cute. And so I undressed him, put him on the stove, gave him a carrot. And my husband standing over him with a spoon. And I just think that's such an awesome picture.
He's got the carrot like he's eating.
Yeah, it's hilarious. And so I think that, you know, I think we're fun. We're honest. Ideally, you know, it's not that paganism doesn't have its non-pagan-like people, just like Christians aren't always Christian-like.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as we've grown, I have seen more of that, which is really too bad. But I don't know. We're just very peaceful. I would really wish that, you know, people would understand us better, would have a deeper understanding. I mean, you know, I think a lot of Christians really don't understand the whole nature thing,
mm-hmm.
Or the whole pantheistic thing, or what that really means. You know, that to them, pantheism is just, you know, God made everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that.
Yeah.
It's God is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I didn't really like grok that until I'd been to a few rituals, and
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden it sort of hit me when I think like the priestess was drawing down the moon or something. I was like, whoa.
And I think when you recognize that, and probably one of the things that's most important to me, when you recognize that God is everything, you develop a respect mm-hmm. for everything. You may not love everything, but you understand it has a place,
mm-hmm.
and a right to exist.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I've heard that from one other person too, so that's interesting.
Yeah, I think that pantheism draws such a total and complete reverence and respect and stewardship, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, yes, I deserve to be here, but so does everything else, and what am I going to make of my place in this universe? You know, what am I going to do that kind of delineates my place here?
Can you say a little bit more about that?
I guess it goes back to that I found my purpose. You know, now what am I going to do with it?
Yeah.
What am I going to do to make my space what I believe it should be? It's kind of like the walk your talk.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I guess that's what delineating my space is.
Yeah.
Is making sure that I live sacredly,
mm-hmm.
that I exhibit those qualities that say that if somebody looks at me and knows I'm Wiccan, they know that this is okay, I'm still a good person, or maybe because I'm Wiccan, I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. Which I think that's the other way around. But I think they're kind of connected too, you know, this whole idea of not that I wasn't a good person before, but it's just enhanced everything. Mm-hmm. It's just made it so that so that I want to, you know, I want to have, I don't know how to express it, this light that says she's Wiccan and, mm-hmm. you know, this is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have definitely found that in the last year of my sort of really starting to get involved with it, that it has sort of like inculcated certain things in me or something, where I just, like, there are certain things that I just can't do, like little things like eating, which eating meat from fast food places or something.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That all of a sudden it's just, it's not even like a, I'm tempted to do it, you know, it's just, I just can't do it anymore.
Right. Yeah, I know. Just a little funny. I told you, my husband's a hunter, mm-hmm. and he always does a ritual before he hunts, and a ritual after, mm-hmm. after he, like if he kills a deer or something, he does a ritual afterwards too,
mm-hmm.
and that is, we really like that when we don't have to buy meat at the store. I mean, you know, there are quite a few vegetarian Wiccans. And I'm not one of them. I like my meat.
Yeah.
But I don't like slaughterhouses. Yeah. I like knowing that my meat was killed
humanely. While it was living. And yeah. Also, you know,
yeah.
Living a decent life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. This was wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. I hope it was helpful.
It was really great.